I have all these guys up here to show you part of some of the kids that were at VBS today, but I want to ask them some questions. Okay, so you have the microphone, but I want you to give me the microphone. Give it to me. Thank you. Gotta tell children more than once. Or the people of the church. Okay, who wants to answer the first question? I know you do, Lance. Alex, how about you? It's gonna be an easy question, okay? Where does fruit, you know fruit, right? Like an apple and all, where does fruit come from? Do you know? No, you need to use the microphone. Tell everybody.
Trees and nature.
That's right. Clap it up for them. That's right. Fruit comes trees, nature. That's right. Okay. Now, a follow-up question here. Anybody can answer. Where? You don't even know the question. You guys, we're right back at Vivian. Where do trees come from? Oh, Peyton, you were first. You want to say?
Seeds.
Let's clap it up. She's right. It's well done. I'm very impressed. Okay. Now here is, we may need some of the bigger ones for this one. I don't know. So seeds, where do they get put, Peyton?
In the ground.
In the ground. How do the seeds get in the ground? Do you know, Griffin? No. Do you know how the seeds get in the ground? Just smiling? Say, because I put them there. That's right, she did. Let's clap it up for her. She put them there. That's right. Now, what do seeds need to grow into big, beautiful trees and fruit once they're in the ground? What do seeds need?
Water and sun.
Oh, yeah. Clap it up. Spot on. By the way, if you're not paying attention, this is the Bible lesson. Okay, great. Water and sun. Okay, so we know where fruit comes from, trees. We know where trees come from, seeds. We know how seeds get into the ground. We put it there. And we know seeds need water and they need sunlight. Oh, you want to say something?
Sure,
okay.
The process of seeds are, first it hatches, yep. And it starts to grow.
That's right.
When the water hits the ground. The sunlight comes in because it feeds it.
That's right. And then what happens? It goes up above the ground, right?
It grows into a tree.
That's right. Okay. That's good. That's good. All right. Lance wants a question. I'm going to give him a real easy one. Ready? Lance, where do babies come from? Don't answer that. We are kicking off a new series called The Harvest Series. This is part one of the Harvest Series. I know nothing about agriculture, nothing about farming, nothing about sowing and reaping other than you have to sow to reap. That's about the extent of my knowledge. So we're going to learn a little bit together here. I did learn that, generally speaking, there is a harvest season come between May and September. August is good as any for a harvest season, so this is well placed. This is the Harvest Series. Are you with me, church? Okay, we're going to wake some people up. I'm really excited about this message. I hope you guys are going to get excited too as I go. I got a lot to say. So I want to start with the process. The children were walking us through the process. They're walking us through the process of seeds being watered, growing, turning into trees and fruit. And you know, we learned some things just take now, this is the point where some people turn me off. What? I want things to happen now. Change is good now. I want it to happen immediately. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of life I want. I want things to happen now. And the first part of this series of Harvest is going to be about seasons. Some things just take time. You cannot speed them up. You just can't. Are you sure, Pastor Sean? Let's take a look at this little guy. He's so cute with the little baby blues. Okay, let's talk about babies. They take time. Pastor Chris, you're going to have a baby. No matter how much you feed him, no matter how much you change him, no matter how much you hold him, he still has to go through the process of being a little baby. And you may get irritated with all the changing of the diapers. There's nothing you could do about it. You got to go through that season of changing diapers. My son's 3, he's now potty trained. I'm happy to not be in that season anymore. No matter how much effort you put into it, you can't speed it up. Warren Buffett, he put it this way. He said, you cannot produce a baby in 1 month by getting 9 women pregnant. You laugh, but this is what we try. We think if we put more energy, if we put more effort into it, we can get things done faster. Pray a little harder, do a little bit more. Some things, that's true, but other things take time. Oh, before I forget, I have a little note here. I made notes. My wife isn't here. She made a note for me. This baby is from the internet, but this baby is little baby Seth Carelli. Pat and Sue aren't here right now. They're on vacation. Pat and Sue were gone for a couple weeks because they went to visit in Indiana their son and daughter-in-law, and they birthed this new little grandbaby, baby Seth. They want to show baby Seth off. I want to show baby Seth off. So this is baby Seth Carelli, and he's probably listening online. So let's, church, clap it up for how excited we are about baby Seth. Okay, so now I want to have a little more fun with this whole process and taking time thing. See, my wife and I, we have been married now 16 years, and it all hasn't been peachy. When we first got married, we divided up the duties. Yeah, I said duties. She did some things, I did some things. I don't know where Amber is, but Amber, I was in charge of the trash, and the trash got done every single time without fail. My wife did some of the cooking, and it was marvelous and wonderful. It looked just like this. All right, that is entirely not true. As a matter of fact, I missed the trash often. We had bugs and ants, I'm sure, and my wife gave me a super hard time about it. And her meals did not look like that. As a matter of fact, she tried, when she first tried to cook the roast, that's a pot roast, a roast in a pot. This was what she was trying to do, and we were running out of time, so she was trying to speed up the process of cooking the roast. And so the roast was frozen, right? It was, I don't know, it was in the refrigerator, maybe it was in the freezer, I don't know. It needed to be defrosted. I explained to her the process of defrosting. And so she, I think, heard wah-wah-wah, heated up. So she's like, okay, and I'm speaking for, she's not here, so I can elaborate as much as I want on the story. And she said, heated up, okay, so I have a certain amount of time to cook it at, 350 degrees or whatever. I'm going to stay within that time. I'm going to turn the temperature up, and now I can skip the defrost process because the temperature is hotter, and I can speed this whole thing up. That's what she tried to do. Do you know what happened when she got done? Do you know our first meal powder? It didn't look like this. Unfortunately, it looked more like this. So it's not high def, but if you're taking a quick look at that, that is effectively a rock in a pot. See, what happened was that she skipped the process of cooking the pot roast correctly. And so the outside, which was frozen in ice and at 500 degrees in the oven, it began to get hard real quick. So it sizzled and seared, and it was like a rock on the outside. It then proceeded to lose all of its liquid. All of the water evaporated, so it shrunk to this little teeny rock. It was hard. It was burnt. It was tiny. She pulled it out, and as the good husband I am, if Chad was listening for that last message, take out the trash, I cut it open and said, I'm going to eat it. So I proceeded to cut it open, which was very, very difficult, steak knife. I opened that thing up, and inside it was, frankly, disgusting. It was still red. It was like 20, 30 degrees different than the outside. It was unedible, and we resorted to what most married couples do, takeout. Some things take time. There is a process. There is natural law at work. There is no way to speed it up. And there are seasons that things work in. See, seasons take time. There's fall, then there is winter, and then there is spring, and then there is summer. And so there are seasons. And when I think about seasons, again, I told you, I don't know much about agriculture. I know a little bit about raising kids. I'm still figuring that out. But here's one thing I do know about when it comes to seasons. And I know there's some men here that can relate to me. There's sporting seasons. I know all about sporting seasons. This here is the 2015 NBA champions, the Golden State Warriors. Okay, they didn't win this year. They're one of my favorite teams. I'm an Oakland fan. I'm an Oakland Raiders fan. I'm a Golden State fan. Seth Curry is the MVP that particular year, is the MVP this year. They were one game away from winning. When you win the championship in a major sporting event, you get the privilege of going to the White House and staying with the president, and you get, you know, to an introduction and an interview, and it's a fantastic and well-revered event. Now, here's what I've learned about sports and sporting seasons. There are very distinct seasons in sports. There are very distinct seasons. First, there is the draft or the free agent season. This is a season where you pick up players, you pick up skills that you don't have or you're in need of. When you're lacking, you look to free agent or the draft to supplement your team to make it better. That's one season. Then there's the off season. The off season is a time to do nothing. It's a time to rest, to build up your muscle, to relax. Then there is training season. This is a time to work as individuals, to work out and get strong, and to start fine-tuning your skills that you picked up, or players, as individuals. Right, it's training season. After training season, there is preseason. Preseason is a time where you come together as a team. It's where you plan on what you're going to do to attack your opponents throughout the course of the season. Then there, of course, is the season. This is where the work gets done. This is where you grind. This is where you compete. And if you're good enough, you have the distinct pleasure of playing in the postseason. And the postseason is the time to shine. The postseason is the time to show who the champions are. Not always the best make it to the postseason. Sometimes it's the healthiest team. Sometimes it's a team that peaks at just the right time. And if you can win, you could be a champion. But no matter how good you are in draft or free agency, no matter how good you are on paper, you do not get to go to the White House. You have to go through the seasons. Church, do we like to go through all the seasons? Or we'd rather just skip to the end? I'd rather skip to the end. But the Lord teaches us, the world teaches us, and sports teach us, there are no paper champs. You must go through the seasons. Seasons take time. Seasons are there for a reason. Because real change, true change, is incremental. Sustaining change requires progress built one step after another step after another step. It's what we call grassroots, creating roots and building change on top of that. It's how great teams are built. It's how families are built. It's how education is built. Incremental steps through seasons, just like in the sporting seasons. Smaller increments that build on each other. Okay, one more example. Close your eyes for a second. Close your eyes. What's this sound? What is that? Oh, there we are. What is that? Okay, that is rain. A good indication of a particular type of season. Made me think of it last night when it was really hot and the rain came down. I started thinking about rain. And when some people think about seasons taking time, you can lower the volume. When people think about seasons taking time, they don't want to get through it. One thing they're thinking of when they think about blessings and when they think about harvest, you know what they're thinking about it raining? They want it to rain this. You know what that is? That's raining money. Some Washington's there. It's raining all kind of money right there. I want to teach you something about seasons. I gave you an analogy from child rearing. I gave you an analogy from sports. Now I want to give you an analogy from business. I'm in business. I work with Fortune 500 companies all over the world. And we work in investing in those companies and making them better. I want to tell you something, what we learned about this. There is a concept in business called overfunding. Overfunding means giving too much money up front when you're not ready for it. We don't want to do this. We've learned this mistake back in 2000 when we crashed the whole internet bubble. What happens is when you invest too much money too quickly, you know what happens? You hire people too fast. Sometimes the wrong people. You overbuild your products. You try to force market adoption. You try to force your product into, and you want people to just fall in love with it. And so you do all of this advertising and all this press release to try to make people love what you have. And when you get an influx of all this money, expectations go really, really high because you're expected to spend the money to be productive. And now I ask you, some of us say, well, yeah, I need more of something. I need more of it. I need it now. I need it now. Here are the questions that I want you to ask yourself today. Question number one, are you expecting a blessing that is not yet ready? Are you expecting a blessing and the blessing isn't ready yet? Yeah. You may not be in that camp. You may be in this camp, though. Did you just miss your blessing because you were not ready? So maybe the blessing's not ready, or maybe you're not ready. But this is a message about change and about blessing. I want it to be encouraging, so I put it in the context of you. I want you to think about, what in your life are you looking for? What in your life are you seeking God for? What in your life do you think you need today? Use that word as blessing. It's not always money. Sometimes it is. It may be any number of things that you are asking God for today. Are you expecting it and it's not ready? Or did you miss it because you were not ready? Now, I want to get excited here. I'm going to start preaching this message. Anybody know what that's a picture of? A sickle. Well done, well done. Jeremy, there is a weapon of small proportions over there. Could you come bring it to me? This is a sickle. This is a sickle. A sickle is a half-moon instrument. It's used during harvest time. I told you this message about harvest, right? Now I want to get into the word, and the word uses a different analogy. Not from business, not from sports. It uses an analogy from farming. I know nothing about farming. Okay, I think you're supposed to hand it to me the other way. Yeah, like that. Okay, thanks, Jerry. This is a sickle. I've never seen one till today, at least in my hands. I asked one of our family members if they had one. Of course, Brother Ed did. He is a hardworking man. Of course he's got a sickle. It's a half-moon instrument. It's used to harvest wheat or corn and to cut things down. I assume you use it to, you know, I'm not real sure, he didn't show me, but I assume you use it to cut at the base of the grain or of the agricultural stuff that you can then bag up and eat and use. This is a sickle. This message, the kids already know. You've heard him say it. So now I'm going to teach you from the Bible. You see, I want to tell you, where's my clicker here? Here we go. This I know how to use. This is technology. This is the point today. I want you to focus on sinking your sickle with your season. Sink your sickle with your season. As I started thinking about this, I say that 10 times real fast. Sink your sickle with your season. Sink your sickle with your season. You can't. It's really hard to do. Sink your sickle with your season. The sickle is used to harvest a fruit or a grain that is grown. That is the time to swing this thing. That is the time to reap your blessing. If you begin to swing this thing when your fruits and seeds have not grown up, you're going to hurt someone. You may even hurt yourself. There is a time to swing this and a time to put this down. There's a time for this to be ready, and there is a time for you to know how to use it. And you today need to learn how to sink your sickle with your season. You need to know what season you're in to use this sickle and to know when to put it down and when to pick it up. And others of you today, you're in the middle of your harvest and you have no sickle. How are you going to get your wheat? How are you going to get your corn without an instrument? I want you to think about that today as we look at the word. Sink your sickle with your season. So I am going to read, you can turn with me if you like. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. Lord, give me the words to say. Help me speak this, Lord. So I'm going to read here, chapter 4, verse 26. Here we are. It says, Jesus also said, the kingdom is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how that happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade. It pushes through. Then the heads of the wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. As soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. Say sickle. Sickle. For the harvest time has come. Anybody read this parable before? There's a couple parables in the Bible about agriculture and farming, and so I'm going to use them over the next couple weeks through this series. Sink your sickle with your season today. I submit to you that as I read this really short Bible verse, this really short parable, this is something Jesus said. He told a story like I'm telling. He told a story back then that they would understand to prove a point. And the point he's trying to prove is that there's three seasons. You know what seasons I hear about in here? These are the seasons I see. I see season number one. There's a scatter season. It's a time to scatter seed. Season number two, there is a sprout season. This is a season to grow. Season number three, there is a sickle season, a season to harvest. What season are you in today? Scatter? Sprout? Sickle? How do you feel today? Do you feel like you're in a scatter, sprout, or sickle? You see, I'm thinking right now that some of you are saying, I don't get it. Really don't understand what you're talking about, Pastor Sean. And then you may tell yourself you don't get it because I'm talking about farming and you don't know anything about farming. But I think you don't get it for a different reason. I wrote it down. You see, I think... Now, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think that at least most Americans, and probably some of us in this church, you know, not any of you, but some of us in this church, they don't get this because some of us always think we're in a sickle season and never want to be in a scatter season, or don't even understand or care about a sprout season. What are you talking about? Can you make it more plain? Sure. I think some of us want to buy before we save. We want to buy things before we have the money to pay for it. That's what credit cards do. They jump us right to a sickle season. I think some of us, we want to know the answers and perform well on the tests before we study. We don't want to study in order to know. We want to go right to knowing. It would be so much easier, Brittany, for you to pass your test if you didn't have to do all those studying. But you and I both know you had to spend many hours studying and studying and studying and studying, and you may not have done as well as you want to do. And that's the problem, that there's a process we need to go through, and not many of us like the process. You know, some of us, we want to be strong before we exercise. And you come up here and you ask me for strength. What exercise are you doing? What physical exercise? What spiritual exercise? There's a process, church. Well, here's one. This one gets a little closer to home. This is for our younger generation. You want to be intimate before you commit. Intimacy is something that it should be in the sanctity of a relationship that can understand it and care for it and protect it. And sexual intimacy should be in the context of a marriage, and yet we've perverted it and we want to jump right to the sickle season of intimacy without the process of committing. The process of getting to know and falling in love, the process of committing our vows and our lives to one another. Here's one, church, maybe for our older generation. Some of us, now listen closely, some of us, we want to be close to Him, that's God, we want to be close to God without ever running to God. We want to jump right to the, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to feel Him. I want my prayers to be answered. I want to know what His will is for my life. I want to understand the Bible when I open it. I want to have God every step of the way. I want to have Him prick my heart. I want to have my conscience understand what You're saying to me, God. I want to be so close to You. Really? When did you run to Him? Church. Then look, this is supposed to be an encouraging messaging. Somebody can say amen. Amen. You see, because I know some of you are running to God. And as you run to Him, you may not feel close to Him, but that's okay. Keep running because you're getting closer and closer and closer to Him. It's a process that you need to go through. You're scattering, then you're sprouting, and eventually you will harvest. Church, are you with me? Some things just take time. Don't try and act like you're in the postseason when you're still in the preseason. You want to be champions, and yet all you have is a couple good qualities that you think God is going to use. You need to train them. You need to perfect them. You need to plan. You need to get together with a team. I'm telling you today, church, with all of these things, we need to sink our sickle with our season. Okay, some of you are saying, I still don't get it. Again, I know it's getting late, but I want you to stay with me here. I'm going to go through each verse real quickly, and I'm going to share with you to show you how simple this is. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. It's the first seed. It's the first season. It's the scatter season. Why do we need the scatter season? Well, the kids told you. You can't have a tree unless you have seed, and the seed won't get in there unless you put it in there. Why do you expect blessings when you haven't scattered? Why do you expect blessings when you've done nothing? I'm not talking about eternal salvation. The Lord will save your soul by simply coming to the altar and saying, I believe in Jesus. But at least that requires you to believe in Jesus. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That requires something. But after that, the Lord said he will bless you here on earth. But it does require you to do something, to scatter some seed. If you're having financial difficulties, I'll say to you, have you scattered some seed around your budget? What's a budget? Problem number one. If you're having health difficulties, I'll say, have you scattered some seed around your diet? I'm not on a diet. I didn't change my diet. So you want health change, but you don't want diet change. If you're having mental and emotional anguish, and you need a need and a blessing, I'll say to you, have you scattered some seed around forgiveness? Yeah. Amen. If you're struggling with addiction today, I'll say, have you been guarding your seed of what you see and what you hear? You see, if we want blessing, we need to scatter some seed, church. Are you with me? Now, I was thinking about this, and I'm really torn because I know it's getting late, and I feel like I've just begun. Let me at least preach this part. I definitely want to preach this part. So I was thinking about this with seeds. And again, I'm not trying to be self-deprecating here, but I really know nothing about farming. My grass at home is awful. I live in a nice neighborhood, and in that neighborhood, there are lots of homes that have pretty grasses, not mine. It looks awful. They manicure and horticulture their grass. I shave mine. I take out the weed whacker, and then I give it to Austin, just let him, we're having a blast out there. I mean, that's the extent of it. Chris, I need your help. My neighbors tell me I need help. I just don't care that much about my grass. But here's what I've learned about grass. You can get more of it if you plant seed. You can go to Home Depot, buy a bag of seed, and start dumping it in there. It just starts growing. It's amazing. Now, here are reasons that I've learned you need to plant grass seed. Well, you do that when you don't have grass. Well, why would I not have grass? There are a couple of reasons. Here's one reason. The grass gets all burnt up. I didn't water it. And yeah, I know Chris will probably explain to me that it gets hot and then it comes back to life or whatever, but not my grass. I've burnt it. I mean, it is dead. There's no coming back to life. In that process, you need to plant seed. How many of us are getting burnt out by the heat of this world? How many of that feel the heat and pressure of life? How many of our fruit in our life has literally been burnt out? Let me tell you, church, you plant some seed. You plant some seed. Here's another one. You need to plant seed when your grass dies because your dog peed on it too much. I know that's a terrible visual, but it's true. Urination, it's poison the grass. And when your grass gets destroyed, you need to raise it up by planting some seed. How many of you, church, have poison leaking into your life? Poison maybe from colleagues at work or from family members, or poison you're injecting into your own very body, and now you've decided you don't want it in there anymore and it is dead inside. I'm telling you, church, you need to plant some seed. Here's one more. This one happened to Bridget and I recently. My wife helped me dig a hole. We need to put a post in it. And so in order to dig a hole, you got to dig up the grass. You got to dig up the dirt. You got to keep digging and digging. Then you got to put the pole in. You got to put cement in. You put dirt back. And when you're done, it's pretty, right? No, when you're done, it looks awful. We have a giant dirt spot now. And so you know what you need to do? You need to plant some seed. And so what I've learned, church, is how many of us have been dug up? How many of us have been burnt out in ministry or poisoned or in some cases literally dug up? We've done what we think is right, and it seems like our roots have been ripped out from underneath of us, and we feel like it's just no good and everything around us is dead. We feel like we've tried and tried and tried, but everything just beats us down. Maybe God just planted a new post in you. You need to plant some seed. You know, I got to move on, but by the way, little trick I did learn, if there's weeds around, you should probably dig them up. But that's for next week. The next part says, night and day, while he is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts. Say sprouts. Sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happened. That's what Shane was talking about, the seedling. It begins to, underneath the soil, begins to come alive, and its roots come down, and its head pops up through the grass. It sprouts. It's a growing season. This is a completely different season than scattering. This is the season after you scatter. Now you're in the growth season where it sprouts. A couple things I learned about this season. One is, last night as it was raining, you need rain in the growth season. And let me tell you, some of you may be in the growth season right now. You may be in a sprouting season, and there's torrential downpour all around you, and you're wondering why there's a torrent of a storm. And I'm here to tell you, church, that torrent of a storm is exactly there to water your growth season. Don't shame it. Don't ask it go away. Allow God to work through it as he's pouring the water of life into you through something that you may think is trouble. Or perhaps you're in a dry season. It's so barren and hot, and you wonder, oh, I just don't see anything. It just seems so dry out here. Spiritually, I feel just dry and parched. Well, the Lord is telling you, you also need sun during the sprout season. It helps grow, church. Here's what I think is interesting about this. It says, but he does not understand how it happens. Again, I'm a consultant, so a word like how really catches my attention. The first thing I say is, why didn't he say why? He says, but he doesn't understand why it happens. Well, he knows exactly why it sprouted. Because he planted it. You want blessings in your life? Plant some seed. It's not difficult. Okay, so he didn't ask why. Well, he could ask what is going to happen. But he didn't need to ask what is going to happen to himself because he knows exactly what was going to happen. What was going to happen? The seed was going to sprout. How did he know the seed was going to sprout? Because he's been there before. Church, if you haven't been around a blessing, get around a blessing. The Lord is answering prayers in this very church. Church? I'm not having time right now to share with you all the blessings, but I'm telling you right now, get around some blessings to build your confidence. Brother Jack Johnson would love to share with you the blessing in his life that God has shared with him, a miracle. Miss Debbie Beery would like to share with you the blessing in her life this week as God has met her need, a miracle. Brother Don King was on a roof. He'd like to share the blessing that God had with him in his life this week, a miracle. That's three just sitting right there. Go talk to one of them. And you won't ask yourself the what anymore. You'll see what God can do and what he's capable of, church. Amen? I'll get you talking soon here. He said how it happens. It means he's not really sure. He's not really sure how it happens, but he can still take advantage of it. He's not sure, but he can take advantage of it. Well, how does that work? That doesn't make sense. Sure, it makes sense. It makes sense all the time. I have no idea how internal combustion works, how we take fuel and fire and air, put it inside of a metal box, fire it up, and my car goes. I have no clue. I know Brian and Ed do, and I know there's some other mechanics here that do, but I tell you what, it's fun. It's real fun, right? If I'm driving fast and you see me out there driving fast, don't think I'm a jerk or I'm crazy. I just have a little too much fun in my car. My car is a little louder and faster than most. Apologies. I stay the speed limit. I'm safe. But I don't understand how it works, and I love not understanding how it works. AC, how do they inject Freon, which is like a poison, into my system? Something then happens, and we get cold, and my kids don't die, and the heat goes away. How does that work? I don't know. And there are all sorts of biological functions taking place in my body right now that Eric or Brittany would love to explain to you that I have no idea how they work, but I know they do. There are plays on sports. I don't know how the plays work on offense or defense, but they work. And when you follow them exactly the way they were designed, you score points or you defend plays. I don't know how that happens, but it's awesome. You don't really need to be sure how God works today, church. You don't need to understand how to understand Bible scripture. You don't need to understand how to preach or how to pray or even how to worship. You don't need to understand what you're supposed to wear, what you're not supposed to wear, what you're supposed to say, what you're not supposed to say, what you're supposed to feel. You don't need to understand Greek or Hebrew. You don't need to understand theology. You don't need to understand how God works in order to take advantage of Him. Thank you. He wants to work in your life, and too many of you are trying to figure Him out, and you ain't going to. He didn't ask where. He didn't ask where. You know where it happened? It happened in the dirt. I'll pause here because the dirt's for next week. The dirt's for next week. Some of us feel like we're living in the dirt. I'm going to pick up the dirt next week. I'm going to share this with you here because I can't, I got to say this without getting out of my system. I don't want to share too much because I got to go for next week, but the Bible says the earth produces the crops on its own. On its own. It means it doesn't need my help. Your blessing doesn't need your help. It doesn't need your help. When you scatter the seed, let God do His thing. Don't monitor after it. Don't ask 1,000 questions. Don't research it, Google it, report on it, ask about it. Let God do His thing, and it's going to happen in the dirt. But again, we'll talk about that next week. But what I want to point out this week, as I close here, maybe Amber, you can come help me. Church, I got a lot to say. It's why I do series. I got a lot to say. Come back next week. I want you to hear the end of at least this part of the message. But this is what I want to share with you right now. It said it produces it all on its own. And last night in my office, as I started thinking about this, I was brought to tears, church. All I can think about, and all I know for sure, is about my own life. I don't know all about your lives and what God has done or hasn't done for you. But I can look at my life. And some of you may look at me, and you may pass judgment, or you may wonder, you know, how does he have this, or how does he do that, or how is he capable of this, or whatever. I don't know what you think or say in private quarters. But when I look at my life, I think I'm not really sure how God did it. I really don't know. I don't know how God took this little punk kid on Baltimore City streets who thought it would be cool to learn every curse word there was and intellectually debate every adult that was around, that found himself now preaching to you. I really don't know. I don't know how God was able to take me from a public school to a private school to send me to college to be the first one in my family. I don't know, church. I really don't. I don't know how God was able to introduce me to a beautiful woman while in high school and her to fall in love with this scrawny punk and stay with me through years of high school, years of college, and then marry me. I don't know what I said. I don't know what I did. I don't know. I really don't. Church, when we got engaged, I was in a car accident. And in my car going 50 miles an hour hit a tree head on. I should have been dead, let alone paralyzed. I don't know how I'm walking today. I really don't know. Church, I can't tell you why when I joined one job, I got an offer for another job, and then another job, and then another job. I don't know how God orchestrated all of that. I just don't know. I don't know how I'm capable of driving the car that I do or living the home that I have. I don't know. I don't know how the Lord gave us four beautiful children, four healthy children. I mess them up all the time, but somehow they turn out okay. I don't know how that works. Church, I'm telling you right now, I have no clue how I'm standing up here in front of you today in this ministry. I don't know how the Lord took all those things and put a Bible in front of me and said, preach. I just don't know. And you know what, church? We don't need to know. All we need to know is that God is working in each and every one of us. And you may not know what He's doing in your life right now, but I guarantee you He's doing something. It is your job to sink your sickle with your season. What season are you in? Stop trying to swing that thing around when you feel like you're in a harvest season, when you're still in a scatter season. And if you're in the sprout season, if you're in the dirt, acknowledge where you are and allow God to do what He's doing. And I have to end this message now by saying, church, we don't need all the answers. I just don't know. But I do know how to scatter seed. I do know how to water. I do know how to pray. And I have absolutely seen God work over and over.